going to double check.
Use any timer.
In that case, I will call to order the City of Ramsey Agenda City Council Working Session Tuesday, August 26th, 2025. Topics of discussion, number one, continued review of preliminary 2026 general fund budget slash levy.
Mayor, I will kick this off and just touch on a couple items before we go into a little bit more deeper discussion on the three items referenced at the last meeting. So kind of, again, where we were at to where we're at now, you know, council needed that goal of 7.5%. And I know that at the last meeting there was some questions or comments about, well, with this new HRA funding source, with the TIF 14 revenue coming in, if that would have been known ahead of time, would have that 7.5% been the same? And I'll just, I want to remind everyone of what that 7.5% meant from a dollar standpoint. Our kind of keep the lights on budget, you know, really nothing except for existing staff and some adjustments that were required coming into next year, we were at 4.5%. The remaining 3.5% equated to $400,000 roughly of new levy. We already have a signed purchase agreement for a fire engine that we ordered last year, and with last year's budget we talked about splitting that impact over three different budget cycles. The 2026 budget cycle would have been $300,000. So that $400,000 that we had to get to 7.5%, we're now down to $100,000 left over. Look at the list and what can you get for $100,000? You know, One ton pickup with a box for public works is about $104,000. One squad car is $75,000. So, you know, kind of again back to 7.5%, and what would we have to do in order to meet that goal, just straight general levy dollars, we would have been pushing off a lot of capital. Changing over to the HRA and that funding source. Here is the attempt to keep it super simple, but try to explain what's happening with our TIF 14 and why that's a funding source now. So we have TIF 14, generally speaking, is this map area. It runs from the north side, Bunker Lake Boulevard, down to really the railroad tracks, and on the east side from Ramsey Boulevard over to the properties just west of Ferret Street, which is just on the other side of Armstrong Boulevard. This district's been in place for a long time, and as you can see, this is a relatively updated map. You know, it's, I'll say, roughly half built out, maybe a little bit better. Expenses to date in this TIF 14 district, there's been 4.65, and these are rounded numbers of just principal dollars given out, not including interest on some of the loans, but 4.65 million has been given through TIF agreements on private development, where the kind of what we call PAYGO notes, when the developer pays in their taxes, money is turned around and given back to them through the agreements that occurred in the past. 40 million has been incurred through other public obligations like building roads and some other infrastructure like the parking ramp. And then the land, that was a total of $12.62 million. The land is not reimbursable through taxes paid back. So we've repaid ourselves through land sales through the years. The funding sources that made up that almost $60 million, the private notes, PAYGO notes, that's the, you know, for example, one more recent one is the hotel, received some upfront funding and land write down. The city in the past had to issue bonds to pay for some of the infrastructure, and then we borrowed from all those remaining city funding sources. And then through the years, we had approval through the state to repay a portion of those interfund loans, or reimburse, I should say. And then the most recent legislation that was approved this year expanded that reimbursement total to include other projects. All eligible TIF projects, it's just it captured more funds that could be reimbursed. So the balance is owed ultimately, again, we're to these various funding sources. And I just note that the Park Trust Fund has been fully reimbursed through land sales. But we do have some private notes out there, some public debt service yet. And when we kind of go into a little bit more detail on these cash flows, those obligations and the private notes and public debt service, those are captured in the cash flow projections before we have identified what left is there for flexible spending. The HRA fund is the one fund that's really getting called attention to right now. MSA is the municipal state aid fund. PIR is the public improvement revolving loan fund. We have an equipment capital fund, a stormwater management fund, and then four different utility funds that are paid for through user fees, and then TIF 1 and 2. When we look at the annual reimbursements and how those are calculated, again, number one, we have to do the private notes and we have to do the debt service. If we don't, that's not meeting the agreements that we're done. And again, those are captured in the cash flow projections before we recognize the remaining funds available to reimburse their funds. The remaining increment we've identified the most flexible funds first, and then did a pro rata reimbursement to it. So, you know, if you collected $1 million and the HRA interfund loan accounts for 75% of that $1 million. You know, HRA would get the 75%, MSA a smaller, and that don't quote on that percentage, but you know, pro rata paying it back is the proposal. And again, because all of these funds are flexible and have identified expenses booked against them for future plans. And then the idea is once those super flexible funds are reimbursed in full, we go back and look at the two remaining of TIF 1 and 2. Those still remain quite flexible, but the eligible expenses out of them are still largely just infrastructure. So that is the attempt of very high level, where this money came from, where it went, and when it comes back in. So right now, you know, as we go back and look at the annual, you know, our annual tax increment proceeds can fluctuate based on a couple different factors. Number one, what new development has occurred in the district. Number two, what new TIF agreements has the council approved. And number three, if market value or taxable property values are being appealed and reduced. And we have seen that happen in recent years. So, you know, when we look at historically, we've collected the increment each year and we've paid back the required obligations. It's really just within the last few years that we've started to really recognize enough development has occurred where we've got that extra increment that we can go, okay, what funds is this going to? And so when you look at the cash flow in front of you, it's the bigger sheet with blue and pink and yellow on it. You know, looking back to 2030 actual, down in the bottom box where it says funds available towards general fund levy, that was only $373,000 and some change. 2024 was the same amount. So as we come into 2025, that fund balance was only $672,000. Not a large amount, but getting bigger. As we look forward, that top line starts to progressively get bigger up to just over $1 million for a number of years coming here in the near future. So if we built in some identified uses in the moving forward, and that is some budget transfers to get to that 7.5%, the $300,000 for the fire engine, which is, again, how do we get down to that 7.5%? And then next year we have the $600,000 for the remaining fire engine. Now when we look at 28, 29, 30, you know, this conversation will come forward again, but we've got the ladder truck that's coming due, and right now our estimate is $3 million. Spreading that over 3 years, we've got just over $1 million per year increment coming in. So as Diane and I were talking about, what's a reasonable funding source moving forward to help reduce reduce the impact of the general levy, this is why this is making sense. If TIF 14 wasn't a thing, all of the taxes paid from properties within TIF 14 would be going towards the general levy. So, one could say in a way, if TIF 14 didn't exist, we would be hitting the property tax levy and all this would be captured as well. Questions on that so far? Otherwise, we can turn to Diana and maybe even Sean a little bit too, understanding the district as a whole and what might make sense to...
Brian?
Yep.
Before they ask questions, one thing to clarify. So with the TIF district right now, we're receiving the city portion, the school portion, and the county portion. So we're receiving three jurisdictions. So when Brian said that if the TIF district didn't exist, we wouldn't get all of that money. We would only get the city portion. So it should be noted that we're getting more now because it's in a TIF district. Just wanted to clarify that.
Dan, I saw your hand up.
I was actually just giving a peace sign back to you. Sean, he was about like this to me.
Peace.
Okay. Nice
guys. Anyone else have anything other than peace? Chris?
Without too much into it, what did the law change? You said it made more things allowed to be reimbursed. I guess that's my question.
Yeah, we had the way our special rules were approved in the past, it largely identified pre-2010 and post-2010 expenses to be reimbursed. When we talked with Ellers, who's a financial advisor that we work with heavily on TIF 14, as well as some attorneys, we felt like the way the statute was written, we could make the argument of reimbursing it all, but it wasn't clear cut from the attorney's opinion, so we wanted to go back and make that law even more clear that it's all eligible expenses. Without that, we would have ran anyways and reimbursed us for all of it, but say 20 years down the road, no, not 20 because the district would be done, 15 years down the road, could a state auditor come in and say, we want to audit your TIF district and make sure everything was correct. This, we feel like, gave us the approval to say, yep, we've done everything correct, and ultimately it increased the amount, the minimum amount that we would have been able to reimburse ourselves.
Any other questions before we continue? Seeing none, continue.
So, I guess for now then we can move on to the three remaining positions that council wanted more information on and why they're needed, and I guess we'll just kind of work from top to bottom and start with the part-time communications specialist. I believe we already handed that handout out.
Good evening, members of council. I had handed out a document that itemizes out reasons to consider a part-time communication role. I realize it's a lot of text to read. The intent behind the blue boxes showing different departments' comments, this is straight from the different departments in their own words. The reason I wanted to lay that out for you before I kind of really dig into this is to say that the communications coordinator does much more than what it seems apparent. So she's very, very busy. She's very involved in almost every department. She's incredibly cooperative to assist people. And I know this isn't about the person in the role, but it's about the position. But I did want to provide that information so that you can glance through that and see that, there's probably a lot more that she does than meets the eye. One of the most important things that I want to bring to your attention is actually on the third page, and I'm just going to tell you there's an opportunity for us to save over $8,000 by bringing in our own advertising, just to grab your attention on that point. But back in 2022 is when we hired a sole dedicated person to do communications, and we took away the events portion of the role, which was a smart business decision, and I think you can all agree that it really did pay off in the quality of what we're putting forward, the consistency, the branding, and the professionalism. So I'll just pause for a minute if you want to read that over. That first paragraph is a good summary of part of the intent behind this. Aside from what each department had to say about the communications coordinator position, all of her work that's part of her normal job description, that has to continue. There's a communications to-do list, and that involves her normal current work and everything that you see, plus the behind-the-scenes work. There's the ADA project to make our website ADA compliant. That is a huge undertaking, and she is meeting with every department and division to get that ADA compliant and really cleaned up. So it's a more reader-friendly appearance. So that cost savings that I had mentioned earlier in my discussion is listing there as a pending cost savings improvement. Currently, when we sell ads for the Ramsey resident, the individual businesses pay the city 50% of the total charge. Scott Robinson, the city pays Scott Robinson, which is called Universal Apparel, the other 50%. Currently, our communications coordinator oftentimes has to tweak what's provided to us to improve the ads themselves. So we're paying out, I did a study of 10 issues of the Ramsey resident. If you divide that out and multiply by 6 issues, it's about $8,000 that we would not be paying out. Pat could, our communications coordinator, could do that in-house. We feel that we can actually offer it at less cost to the citizens or to the businesses at a better quality. We would not be able to take that on without a part-time person to help with social media. So the total budget request for this part-time communications person in 2026 is $30,978. We wouldn't be spending almost $8,000 to Universal Apparel if we were able to get this part-time person in-house. So I think that's really pretty significant. There's items on the list that she, our communications coordinator, just does not have time to get to. I'm not going to read them, but you can see there's several things. Another piece of this is that we really feel like Parks and Recreation should have its own social media page. And that would be taken care of in the communications division to keep with consistency and branding and so forth. All housed under communication, so that would be another undertaking to improve our outreach to the citizens. Then I'm just going to touch very briefly on kind of the human impact of being a one-person shop. Our communications coordinator is an hourly employee. She is not exempt. She's not salary. She's one person, and when she doesn't... if there's a day she maybe feels like she would really like to stay home and take care of herself because she doesn't feel well, she's reluctant to do that for getting behind. When she's on vacation, she's checking Facebook and emails. And so with this part-time person, I think it'd give her a little bit more peace of mind to be able to truly disconnect when she's on vacation. Last point I'd like to make is that with the front desk being closed, that puts more on upstairs staff, which is what we are ready for. We think it's a smart business decision, but this additional part-time person would assist with those tasks that end up coming upstairs. And I can stand for questions.
Questions specifically for those who may have wanted more information on this. I know there's a few people that wanted more info on the position, so that would be a good time to clarify anything. Nothing. All right. Thank you for providing that.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Next, we'll move to the full-time firefighter/fire technician.
Sorry to get this passed out before we started here. Tonight I'll be presenting an overview of the requested firefighter/fire technician position. In front of you is a breakdown of the position and the duties. The position need really comes from the continued growth of the city that we've resulted in increase in calls and service and additional administrative duties because of those calls. And the benefit of this position is that it is a dual role. The position would assist with daytime call response and perform all administrative functions for the department. This full-time responding position will include managing the fire department's record management system and associated software programs, preparing and submitting department payroll, and completing fire incident reports, and then submitting those to the state. There's other duties that would include more on the lower end, more of the logistical requirements of the department, including equipment repair, preventative maintenance, fleet maintenance, and maintaining inventory control. I'm not going to go down the whole list here of the detailed description of duties, but I will call out a few of the higher profile objectives of this position. Obviously, number one is to assist with responding to calls. It's also have a front-facing customer service person to help with residents as they come in, reprocessing all the Clover or the credit card payments for all of our alarm permits, entering those into PIMS as well. One of the bigger items here is our records management system software that's first due. This person will maintain all the incident reporting and record management system as a whole, report that to the state, the payroll, and submit that to the city's payroll. Those two items alone are very time sensitive. Our hands slapped a couple of times on those. We're falling behind that. So I just want to move on to these key takeaways of this handout. So in addition, again, to the administrative duties, this position will respond to daytime calls for service. So we've grown 15%, a little over 15% per year over the last 5 years, per year. So we are currently at about a 24.5% increase year to date last year at this time. So we are struggling with daytime response. The pay down calls just are not available during the daytime. Typically evening and weekends where we benefit from them. We currently have a paid-on-call firefighter working up to about 29 hours a week assisting with these duties, which is not sustainable. He's starting to back off on some of those hours as we speak. In addition to the pay-time or the paid-on-call firefighter, other full-time positions are sharing in these duties. They're not being completed in a timely manner or they're incomplete. The difficult part about having so many hands in this job here is it causes inconsistencies and not knowing for certain who's doing what task at what time. So the full-time staff do have obviously their own responsibilities that they need to be aware of and take care of this job. So with that, I will stand for any questions.
Questions? Chris?
Well, I'd asked the question kind of before, but you weren't here to answer it. We understand we're short on hours right now because of various positions and whatever, but when those are, everyone's back to full strength, we're still short? Is that, that's, I guess that's my kind
of... great question. That position is totally separate from this. So we've got other paid on call that are helping with that operational side and the training side right now. So this position is kind of a standalone aside from those shortages that we have on the operations side.
So you're short even if that position is covered and full time?
The position that's on the leave right now, if that was to come, we would still be short because that position would alleviate the paid on call to assisting the operational side, but we're still paid on call and the other full-time staff that are working on this position are still tied to this.
Clee.
Yes, I just want to add too, I think it's important to remember the pay scales of these various positions. This firefighter / fire technician is a significantly lower paid position than the assistant fire chief position, which is currently out, and the other employees that are backing up that role right now. So this position is a better value for the role that it will be filling.
Thank you. Any other questions about this position? I appreciate the fire red and the yellow header. That's on brand. I like it. I don't think there's any questions. Thank you for presenting that.
Thank you. Mayor, Council, this is on the park maintenance worker. On August 12th, they provided a handout that covered a lot of the detail with respect to the need for a new maintenance worker, specifically a park maintenance worker. Brian's passing on the handout that will talk to a little different aspect or snippet of the park maintenance workers' job duties throughout the year. But first, I just want to mention that there was three categories that drive the need for maintenance workers. One is just simply population. The more residents we have, the more demands we have, and more impacts we have on all the various systems that we're required to maintain and take care of throughout the year, not just parks and mowing and trash and athletic field maintenance, everything throughout the year, because we share our maintenance workers throughout three divisions. The other category is aging infrastructure. The preponderance of our park and trail system is more than a quarter century old. Things are require repair and replacement all the time. That's not something that we can overlook. Some of those are even safety related, like some boardwalk repairs that were sprung upon us this week, just things breaking. The other category is new impacts to our organization, to Public Works. These are things that we've already committed to. All the things that you're fully aware of, big items like the water treatment facility, our stormwater pond policy that we just enacted, trail maintenance, on and it goes. Bruce tallied up, as an example, just the new improvements with the Ramsey Gateway project, miles of trail and sidewalk, four landscape roundabouts, all the road right-of-way that goes with that, and 90 pedestrian ramps alone, just with those new improvements. So that doesn't sound like a big impact, but we spend 4 minutes on each ramp as part of our snow removal operations. As an example, that's either turning around, pushing it back so that we're not carrying snow at an intersection, or waiting for an automobile. 4 minutes. That's 360 minutes annually, 15 plow events, that's 5,400 minutes or 90 hours a year, just messing with those intersections. So the handout, the first page shows 2024 revenue, and that is intended not to suggest that this revenue offsets the impact of a maintenance worker to our general fund levy, but rather it represents activity that is increasing across our organization for athletic field maintenance. So we got clinics, tournaments, game prep. Every time we drag a field, we're charging the athletic association or PAC for that maintenance activity. PAC also gets dinged with just a flat rate maintenance fee for their field at the draw and also now Central Park. The PAC High School is
really increasing the amount of activity at Central Park, and actually in some ways kind of confounding how we do our work, because previously we didn't have those fields being used in May and October and September during the day when we're trying to get our maintenance done. So we're accommodating all that. So in 2024, that together with park rental fees was $63,000 in revenue. And again, I'm not suggesting that that is a direct offset for our new maintenance worker request, but that gives you a snapshot of just one column of activity. So park rentals are going way up in terms of activity. And then, of course, we'll be proposing a modest increase in revenue as part of our rates and charges that we'll be talking about here, I think, next month. So first page, we had looked at the three pavilions that we're planning for with the waterfront and done a low, a middle, and a high in terms of revenue. And these are really conservative estimates. And these would be rentals for, like, birthday parties and that sort of thing. These will be popular. So the middle one we took and added those days and hours up that we know that they'll be rented. That alone equates to $12,000. So the second page just shows that 2026 projections, they just happen to correspond with the approximate amount of the maintenance worker wages and benefits for 2026. So again, not suggesting that this is direct revenue, but even with the park improvement that we're talking about for the waterfront, comes more maintenance activity, but also a little bit of revenue. Albeit tiny.
Okay. Questions for Mark? All right. I think he answered my question. Yep, I think we're good.
I don't see anybody else.
Thank you.
Great. Well, I think that concludes, at least from staff's perspective, the added information we wanted to share this evening. Again, just a reminder that we're in the prelim budget time, so as we continue to maybe learn of additional revenue, as Mark mentioned, we'll be bringing forward the rates and fees charges. We will continue to fine-tune our budget through the final budget season as well. I'm not going to get your excitement up and say that the numbers are going to change significantly, but they will get fine-tuned and they will be adjusted to recognize just the more accurate estimates we have on various stuff and additional revenue that we may expect. So, I think we're at a point where, yes, we do have another work session that we could spend time on the budget, but my question to council is this needed, or is this a prelim budget that you guys think that we can bring forward in September for adoption?
All right, before we go around the table, Mark, I actually did remember my question. Can you talk about this position and how it will positively affect the seasonal maintenance workers and covering those gaps? I feel like you talked about that before, but is this a stopgap for some of those odds and ends that are hard to kind of control on the shoulders of the season?
Yeah, it's probably beyond a stopgap and just a requirement. We have a very difficult time getting enough seasonal workers. That problem has been with us for about 6-8 years. We're almost hiring everyone that applies, and then sometimes they don't show up on their day that they're supposed to because they've taken another job, or we'll get them started, and you get that, that 1 or 2 week of training and so forth, and then they leave for another dollar an hour. But mostly the problem, the gap that you had suggested, Mayor, is that May right on through that first week or so of June, most of our workforce in terms of seasonal workers, and it's up to about 10 or 12 for park dedicated parks, we use them for utilities and streets as well, but most of them are college age workers. Many of them are taking classes or in colleges out of town, and then they come back, and then they want some summer work. And then, like right now, we have none. They've left. They've gone back to school. So and that happens to correspond with our peak maintenance period in parks. April mid-April at the latest, even if we have a late winter, all of May is full on. Everything's happening, whether it be mowing, athletic field maintenance, everything that's pent up for spring, getting things, systems up and going right on into June. And then that same peak period is upon us again in late summer when all our fall athletics come to football, soccer. We're now looking at fall softball too. Or when happy days. We, in public works, maintenance workers, it's almost all hands on deck next week. We even mandate that no one gets time off that week because we need everyone. So that's barricades, street sweeping, everything that happens out in the field that we see, and things that that the public isn't witnessing that needs to take care, needs to occur. That's the short answer.
All right, thank you. All right, so the question was posed to the council, how does this look? Are we close? I know that there's a few positions on here that we asked the city staff to elaborate on because there were some disagreements. I'll just say my initial assessment was get us to 7.5%. We don't care how you do it. And we'll trust your numbers. So on these three positions, they were within the 7.5% as I see it. So I did not feel a need to really dig into these too much. But for those of you who are not happy with that number, what are your thoughts? How are you going to convince us to keep cutting, or does it look good? And for those who are happy with this number, if you want to share anything, that's fine too. Shannon.
Question.
Yep.
Our sheet that we were given on August 12th has a 1,920 yada yada number. Anyway, over here on our August 26th number, it's 2 million on that bottom line in items remaining in budget. How come that went up?
That is the addition. I referenced it at the last meeting as we continue to try to implement a new permit review system software, and they would be used for more than just building permits. We were attempting to accomplish it in such a way of using, there's two parts of the software. There's what we call Acela. That's kind of the workflow aspect of it, and then we need a software program that will allow us to mark up plans, and they need to talk together nicely, and the route we were going with a version called Bluebeam, we have found it's not integrating well at all. We received caution expressed by Logis, who is implementing this for us and a number of other cities who are lined up behind us, that this Bluebeam probably wasn't the best route to go. We attempted it, and we've been through months and months of trying to make it work, and we ultimately realized it's not going to. We're converting to a DigiPlan is the new software that would replace Bluebeam. That's a $20,000 upfront implementation fee, and then just over $40,000 annually. So the difference from the $1.92 million to $2 million is the $85,000 of that DigiPlan software. That number, as I mentioned, going through final budget, will come down. What our idea is, we'll pay the implementation fee this year with some remaining professional services budget on the building division. We had money budgeted for some mentorship opportunities or needs if should they come up with a new building official that we brought on early this year. We didn't need that. So there's professional services money left over in 2025's budget. So that $85,000 will be reduced down to about $45,000 through the final budget. And actually probably even for the prelim budget adoption. But that's that difference.
So put...
Okay.
Just to piggyback off that discussion, I guess what steps have you done differently this time to ensure this software might be a more effective fit?
So the DigiPlan was actually the preferred the first time through, but knowing the financial impact, we attempted the more reasonable version. Majority of the other cities who are going to implement this whole system behind us, we're the first city, so we're really the ones that are helping build it out and kind of start the baseline design. They're all, most of them are planning on going with DigiPlan. So, and then before we even kind of committed to it this time around, we did additional demo viewings and asked a lot more questions. So we're far more confident that this one will work.
Do we get any benefit from being like the guinea pig kind of versus the...
Financial benefit, no, but we are really the city that's designing it and how it speaks and how stuff functions. So we get to customize it to how we want it versus buying an off-the-shelf program, so to speak, that, you know, maybe five other cities already tweaked and Logis is saying, you know what, no, we don't want to customize it too much more.
Then how much should we lose that? I know this is kind of laughing out of time, but you brought it up. But how much should we lose then from that previous implementation? I mean, were you able to recoup any of that, or just
I think it was around $6,000. The one number that Diana doesn't pull off the top of her head. Bluebeam, I think, was about $6,000.
Okay, so it wasn't like
it was not a large amount. And again, you know, the initial response was, okay, DigiPlan, you pay for the implementation and the user license up front, and Logis said, okay, we hear you, and we'll push the annual cost to next year, since we won't get it for about 6 to 7 months from now.
Other questions?
I don't know if you got the opportunity then to look at what other Anoka County cities are proposing. This is as of last Monday, so this is pretty current.
I don't think we handed that out.
I put it as
it's on the last.
Yeah, we did reference it that we try to,
it's the last.
Not that you make your decision based on what others are doing, but that's kind of what we're hearing for target levy increases from others.
So, we hand over.
Yeah,
nice. Look at that.
Well, I don't know. 3.99 is...
Madness on this, I would have been happy with this. Let's buy it up, Brian. Thank you.
Other questions? In all seriousness, this is the time to bring your concerns forward.
Can we make statements, too, or just questions?
Yeah, statements, questions. Let's take the formality out of this and just make this a productive session here. Let's talk. Okay. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you. Yeah, so I appreciate the decrease, put it down. I still wouldn't support the communications position. I appreciate the work in here, though, and I think maybe we need to look at dividing jobs and things. I know when we brought Abby on, the idea was that her position would be able to handle Happy Days. I don't know if Happy Days has grown that much or not. I know her position, too, was very close to not even being hired, but it just seems like, and I understand it's been a four-year time span since then, but it seems like it's been growing with that, and I don't see, maybe I don't understand, but Happy Days growing that much or that much more than when we initially planned for hire and some of the other things that were done, so my thoughts on it.
Is that the only part that you're opposed to?
I guess I would still like to see it lower, but that's just one specific thing without, getting in the weeds and other stuff. But I'd still rather see like the 6% type kind of range. But
okay. Who else? Shanna?
I would say I don't want to have the part-time communication specialists or the new park and rec maintenance workers. I would like to push them off for another budget meeting. At this time, I would really like to see how we can not add year-over-year increase in these places, because I feel like as soon as we get this part-time, the next time I hear from it, oh, we want them full-time. These areas, I think, are just like we need to pause and wait, especially since the park and rec area, we don't even have that up and running. And these projections are fantastic. Love the fact that we have projections on that, but I think it's best to hold off and wait until 2027's budget I think I said that right. Right? 26 is when we do 27s.
So
I'd be okay with the firefighter fire technicians, I think those ones definitely need to get that place. That's for the safety of the neighborhood. We need those calls to them quickly responded to.
Okay, so two positions you're not sold on, and then what about the overall 7.5% levy?
Well, I wanted zero to keep it at the zero number, so the 4.5 sounds good, but we're not 100% sold at the 7.5 thing. But.
Okay. Eric?
I'm good at 7.5, I'm good with the fire technician, and I'm good with the maintenance worker. Communications, I think we can push off one more year. We have a lot more housing going in, a lot more retail. We need extra help on safety, and safety should be first and foremost in our minds. And the maintenance, we have the waterfront going in, the parks, like Mark talked about, the getting seasonal workers in there is tough at those bell ends. So those would be the two that I shoot for.
Okay, so you'd be 4, 7.5. And the two of the three positions, with the outlier being the communications. Michael?
Also good with 7.5, and I agree that those two positions are more important, but I see the value in the communications position. It's kind of a soft skill kind of thing, but I think it presents the city well. And the tipping factor for me is the that word is missing.
Succession planning.
There you go. Succession plan. We've got.
You like that?
Wow.
Third voice.
I have ADHD, so I read people's minds.
Oh, that's not what that means.
So I'm good.
Okay. And so you'd be good. All three. Yep. 7.5. Yep. Chris.
When we had originally talked about this and talked about the 7.5, that roughly meant something like $1 million, a little over $1 million, $1 million 50 reduction in what was being asked. And rather than finding that, we found $755,000 of additional revenue. Really, not very much overall that was reduced from the ask. Almost all of it is solved through additional revenue. And again, if we would have known that or had that presented to us, we wouldn't have suggested 7.5% was the right number. I don't believe we would. So I'm still not there.
Any input on the positions, the three positions in question?
My opinion hasn't changed.
Was that on all three?
Yeah.
Okay. Kirsten.
I'm fine with the 7.5, and I'm fine with all positions. I think our fire department needs that position, our communications team needs that position, and our Parks and Rec needs that position. I don't see that us holding off helps with anything, as the rise in our citizens isn't holding off and waiting. The growth in our city is not holding off and waiting, so let's make sure that we keep doing good work and getting the work that we need to get done on top of it. So.
Okay. I'm good with the 7.5%, as that was the goal that we gave the city staff. And I do appreciate, Chris, your input. I think we were working on incomplete information. However, I do attribute that incomplete information to a state legislator that passed a budget super late into May. And that affected how we projected and how we saw what we had coming up. So although this is money that is new for us to use after the new legislature comes through, and that helped them get the 9.5 down to 7.5 or 9.5, whatever, down to 7.5, I'm just going to give it the benefit of the doubt that we gave them a parameter and they found a way to meet it. I think it's important to know that we all know now there's a new capital fund that's available. So although I don't share your sentiment about going back, which I totally understand why you believe that, I'm close to it, but I'm not quite there, I will share your sentiment the next budgeting season. And a little preview, I think I'll be coming back with a number lower than 7.5 next budgeting season. But to honor what I said this time, 7.5 is okay with me. All three positions are okay with me. There's issues with every one of them, but we have succession planning, and we look at our survey. What's one of the number one things residents say? Better communication. Okay, so we say that we're representing the residents, and we want to hear the residents out, and we want to work for the residents. They say better communication, and we say no communications director with ADA compliance coming in, and it's going to help us with succession planning. Possibly. Possibly not. Possibly the part-time person will work for a year and leave. But we have a silver or a magic eight ball. Fire calls, those continue to go up. Our city is growing. As our city grows, we will always be ahead of our growth. We're spending ahead of our growth until we normalize, because they're always paying for future expenses now. You pay to expand a road before you have all the cars on the road. You can't wait till the road needs to expand before you expand it. So you're always paying for expenses ahead of time before you actually realize the cost. And the seasonal maintenance worker, we want our waterfront, we want our parks to look good, and even if we don't think we need it, when you look at everything that Mark outlined, we have college, I mean, I did landscaping. I know that spring and fall is the worst time to maintain anything. A spring and fall cleanup to get all the leaves and debris blown out of the beds to deal with the happy days. It's a lot of work. And when you're looking at temps to fill it, sometimes you're reduplicating effort and losing time. So although I have an issue with all three positions, I said 7.5, get there how you're going to get there. And next year we can look at that number differently, but that's where I'm at. So for consensus, I hear 4 7.5s. Not that we have to end the discussion, but I'm just doing a pulse check. 4 7.5s, all in agreement, minus a communication worker. So is there any thought on the communication worker to reach a consensus early on? And then we can keep discussing, but we're just doing a little pulse check here. Good on the communication worker? So we have four people on consensus at 7.5% with three positions going forward. That's what we have right now. Any further discussion or points? I would love somebody to prove me wrong and change my heart with logic and reasoning.
Change my heart with logic.
I think you said that really, really well. Thank you so much for mentioning all of that about those positions, Ryan.
You're welcome. Would anybody like to debate?
It sounds like your view is that because you made your word, you're going to keep your word, so how do you argue with your desire to keep your word? That's your core morals, so I'm not going to be able to change your core morals. I mean, I don't see the point, I guess.
Well, you'd be right. So...
He just likes to argue. Damn.
I do like debate. No, but in all honesty, I think if somebody can flip the script and say, aha, here's where I can find our city staff knew there was this bucket of money and they were holding it as the trump card that they can play at the last second.
Let's not bring Trump into it, okay.
Then I could be persuaded, but I'm not going to attribute that to scheming. I'm just going to say more than likely we had a state legislator who went really late. Nobody knew it was in the bill. It came out. Funding became available. Our city staff looked into it, said, oh, here's a solution, and they met it. Chris?
I guess I want to be clear. I am not suggesting staff had any malice in this or that was done on purpose. It's just the rules changed. Mm-hmm. So then I think our approach should change. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely not saying staff did anything untoward.
Yes, let me clarify. I'm not saying that you guys are saying that. You just said, how would I get you to change your mind? And I'm just saying, if something like that came out, I would change my mind. But I don't believe that's true. I don't think anybody else believes that's true. Anybody else? Questions, comments? All right. It sounds like, as of right now, through an unofficial survey and pulse check, we have consensus from at least four of the seven council members. What else do you need to know?
I don't think we know anything else, correct?
So no work session on the budget, and adoption will be brought to the last meeting in September 23rd.
Before we go that route, I don't want to say there's no further discussion on this in the work session. And Dan, you said it's going to be hard to change my mind, and you may be right, you may be wrong. But that doesn't mean it can't be. It doesn't mean that anybody else's mind has to be changed. So is there anything else that we want brought back for clarification? If the nays say it sounds like it's a done deal and we're good and it is what it is, then I think we move forward. Chris?
I guess just to throw it out or ask, this fund still shows that there's a healthy balance all through. Should we use any more of it to buy down? We've already used it to buy down to 7.5. Should it go further? I was throwing that out.
That is a great question. That is something that would make me reconsider not asking them to do more with less, but if we can throw more money at it to lower the levy. Brian, what is your position on
that? Comment to that. I mean, absolutely. It's, you guys can do that. I'll just reiterate that this is a very flexible fund, and you know, we don't have any outside of the fire engine and ladder truck. We really haven't identified any expenses other than helping to offset kind of the capital equipment requests in future years to use this fund towards. So if you spend it all down, yes, you can do that, but you could be limiting yourself for something else that might pop up in the future, whether it be additional infrastructure needed in the core. Correct me if I'm not saying any of that right, but you know, we could identify this for funding sources for something else as well. And I don't know that we had the projections figured out early enough in advance to know what else to think about for that. So I guess I would slightly caution against spending the balance down to zero or close to zero before we have discussion that looks out a little bit further on what else could come in from this.
Do we, what other, which one is this, the most current one? Which one's the most current one? This one? How do I have that one?
I should say.
Yep, I got it now. Are there any more capital items currently included? So the ones that have been removed, those are removed. The ones that are currently included in the 2026 budget, how many of those can go towards, can be used with the TIF district funding? Everything in that?
Equipment, nothing.
Okay, it's just the...
When you say TIF fund, it's... There's kind of two components. There's incurring costs against the district and then adding that to that $60 million total.
Yeah.
We have until November of next year to do so. Really, that's roadways, infrastructure. We could build this fund up, though, and you know, maybe there's not a roadway that we are ready to contribute money towards next year, but 3 years from now there could be. And, you know, do we want a balance in this fund to help pay for that? Because if it's not from this fund, you know, the other proposal is some of our other street funding or increasing the money at that time. You know, we have most of the roads built out. There's really kind of one smaller area that's still left in question, and that's going to be largely dictated by how it develops, and that's over by Casey's. Mm-hmm. You know, the overall plan generally identified Veterans Drive being extended all the way to Ramsey Boulevard as part of the Highway 10 project. The county built an access point there, so.
I'm sorry, what fund are we paying the water truck out of, or are we lean? We have the fire truck.
Fire truck, you know, early on we're talking about this HRA fund.
HRA fund, that's what I was talking about, I'm sorry. HRA fund. So you're saying there's more money in the HRA fund we could spend down?
That's just my question. Yeah,
right.
I mean, it
shows so, yeah. Yeah, so is there anything else outside of the fire truck we can use the HRA fund on for capital items?
Yeah.
Everything?
Or, like I was saying, it could be that project that pops up 2-3 years from now going, man, we really wish we had $2 million sitting someplace.
What's 1% to get from 7.5 to 6.5%? How much is that? Do we know?
$250,000.
$250,000?
I was going to say a little over $200,000.
moment. Is there a little over $200 or $200,000 worth of capital equipment we want to pay for with that fund instead of the general levy, because those trucks are going to cost more 2 or 3 years from now? So do we want to use that to get ahead of purchases? So we can still buy the trucks, we just use the fund so it gets paid for with HRA fund. So we do we want to absorb another 1% from the HRA fund to buy stuff now, lessening our capital expenses? Does that make sense? Am I?
Are you talking about the stuff that we've removed?
No.
Where are we?
No. Oh, everything
that's
we're
that's
saying. Sorry. That's everything.
Like,
you're saying this.
I'm saying stuff we need right now, we need anyway. Right, so should we use the money we have now on stuff we need now anyway?
I'm open to it.
Mayor, if I may ask your question differently.
Yes.
We've identified a way to get to 7.5%.
Right.
How bad does council want to be at 6.5%? Should we use more of the HRA funding, dropping our projected 2026 year balance from almost $1.4 million down to $1.2 million.
Yes.
And then looking forward, that should still allow us to fund the ladder truck by 2030.
Exactly. So it sounds like the 7.5 percenters aren't asking the city staff to take anything out of their budget. But we can go from 7.5 to 6.5 if we take another $200,000 out of the HRA fund and put it towards capital expenses. So the city still gets everything that they came to the 7.5%, but we get 1% lower by spending money that we currently have versus asking the residents to do it. Dan?
I mean, I'll just throw this out there. What I thought you were saying earlier, you know, if four people are truly okay with 7.5%, and if we could pre-buy things that are going to be on next year's budget, which we want to be real tight, that's another idea too, which is what we're trying to clarify, I guess. Are there things that took off that we're going to save money just by doing it now and use that extra 1%?
My hope is that we took them off not because... the reason I asked them to take off some of those capital expenses is because I think we probably get more mileage out of vehicles than we're letting on. So I understand that they're old, but when they have a maintenance score of 2 out of 5 and they have a serviceability score of 2, there's 100,000 miles and it's never breaking and it's never in the shop, let's keep using it. So I'm not saying we buy more that we told them not to. I'm saying we honor everything and we take out of this piggy bank and we buy down that 7.5 to 6.5. Why would we levy against our residents when we have money that we can spend now? And if it's 200,000 and it's not going to make a big impact, it's going to be 200,000 impact, but it sounds like we'll still have a big enough fund to maybe carry that fire, that ladder truck. Why wait?
Can I add?
Yes.
So this sheet is ever-changing, so it does not include every parcel of land that's out in this area. It's basically the land that has been incorporated in TIF and that sort of thing, is that we actually probably have agreements or that it's most likely going to be sold within the next couple of years. Correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so it doesn't include like the site by Casey's, and what's the other big parcel that's over?
The 13-acre parcel that's across the street from...
So that will increase the fund?
Yes.
So we have a surplus. So let's use some of that surplus to buy another percent down and end at 6.5%. Not by having the staff do more with less, but by using the money we already have in our bank to lower the burden on the taxpayers. How does that sound?
It's fine.
Okay.
Do less with more. Oh, wait, no.
We could. Tell me right. As a growing city, it's hard. Chris?
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yes. No, I was just...
I was just going to kind of ask, Ben, I think maybe this one, if you could... I mean, you have some possible uses down below, but maybe if you could add a line of, you know, possible capital improvement projects in the future showing, you know, like you have them for, like, you know, 26 and 27, but, you know, if you could look at, like, the CIP or something and just kind of show, not that you're making decisions for us, but if we decide to make our capital improvements through this, it's kind of misleading to think that this is going to be $10 million when we kind of have an idea of how we might use it.
And Councilmember Riley, I understand. And so I had just put the next 2-3 years on because I had requested that at the time when we did the 26 budget. We currently are working on the CIP, and it's actually due Friday. So I'll have those numbers to get across to, okay, to show.
Yeah, and you know, just to say, you know, that's not a hard and fast rule, but this is kind of maybe where the city is thinking and how we would fund this. And then that would give us a more accurate, you know, because it won't be $10 million, and we may never get above $2 million, or I don't know why.
And so I just kind of put this really quick down below just to show, you know, just those items that those are currently upcoming. Because, of course, the aerial being $3 million, I just wanted to get that shown right away so that it is something that's out there that's going to be a hint on this fund, that it's not going to be like you got $12 million, and so you have $12 million, then that's that you don't know what it's going to go towards, I guess I would say. So yes, I will get this updated with after the CIP comes in and all those numbers come across. And then if you're looking at the 6.5%, I will update then that whole tax sheet of what the impact is out to the taxpayer.
Perfect. All right.
Do you want a very quick work session item next meeting just to look at those final impacts?
Yes.
To
yep.
The
okay. Yep, we'll do that. And as Councilmember Riley said, if we could just look at maybe some perceived funding where we'd end up at with like the ladder truck and stuff thrown in there. But just to clarify, we're going to ask you to knock off another 1%, but to do it just by pulling from the HRA fund and not cutting more from the budget that you presented. So we'll get a new 6.5, with the difference being from the HRA fund. And then some future projections on what this could look like with projected capital expenses. Deal? Good suggestion, Chris. What?
One last comment?
Yes.
Just like to thank Diana. Budget season is not always the funnest, but most fun. Sorry, good grammar there. She starts this back in April, sends it to department heads, and I think was getting adjustments up until last week still already, in some cases from different departments. So this is a undertaking for largely one person to handle. As you guys, you know, we're talking about this HRA funding, all that was on top of preparing the budget and finding all that. So just want to share a good job and thank you to Diana for this process. And I know from my perception, not that I've been in Ramsey for decades, but this has been probably the smoothest by far budget discussion through prelim, at least since I've been here, and I think a lot of it has to go to Diana and how she prepares everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris.
And I don't know who this would be directed at, but maybe if we can just get a quick talking point about if we know why Andover is only 3.99 and like why Lionel Lakes is over 16. I mean, this clearly something must be going on in both of those that's out of the norm, but if you know, yep. if you or whoever could just kind of find out what is that. They don't have a TIF district that's getting healthy apparently.
Well, I mean, high level, we don't know exactly all their funding sources. You know, they could be borrowing for road projects and doing assessments. We don't do that. They, you know, I know some cities have the franchise fees, and that's, we don't go that here. We understand that, but, you know, other cities have other funding sources that aren't captured in that 3.5% levy increase, where all of ours is captured in the levy increase. So that's the high level, no detail behind that answer.
All right, and we'll be tied for second with Hamlin.
Go 6.49
celebration. Yeah,
6.49.
That's what I was thinking.
Playing golf.
So we can find one. We can find one.
We can, yeah.
All right. Yes, thank you for all the hard work. All right, on to the next item. We'll be in the park discussion.
We'll be in the park. We, quick summary, this year we're doing two movies in the park. One of them was done back in August, and it was Moana 2. The next one scheduled is Beetlejuice coming up in September. Councilmember Specht and Councilmember Stewart requested the discussion, expressing some concerns between PG-13 rated movie as well as kind of that horror status or category movie. So, you know, staff did look out and notice that a number of other cities are doing PG-13 rated movies as well. Specific to Ramsey, we did have a number of requests in past years to show a scary movie. Our recreation programming does try to provide something for all ages in the community, and you know, for this year, we felt like a PG-13 Beetlejuice movie in September was kind of fitting for the season, and providing that rec opportunity for the older children. So I guess I'll turn it over to Councilmember Speck or Stewart for anything else.
Sure. Yeah, no, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, so I don't feel that, you know, if individuals, again, you know, individual company wants to rent the park and, you know, show whatever they want to show, I mean, that's, you know, they're right. They can hire it. I think as a city, though, I think we need to put our best face forward, and I think it's appropriate for us to, you know, promote a movie from the horror comedy or from PG-13, you know, strike for events. Family friendly, we have a wider range of different events. You know, if there's concerns about it, you know, we can do only one movie a year or something if it's going to cause a lot of issues. But obviously, it's ultimately the parents' decision, but when it's in a big public place like that, there's bystanders and other things that, you know, could be affected or seen.
All right, we got Councilor Specht, Dan, Shanna.
Yep, so when Dan let me know that we were doing the Beetlejuice one, I just was like, okay, is that responsible as, if you think about it, as a city, we're saying this is an okay thing for your child to see. And that's where we look like the parent. Like, if we're promoting this, we're going, yes, this is cool, this is good. That doesn't give a great, like, overall, like Dan said over here, saying if somebody else came in and rented that park, fantastic. They want to show a Freddy Krueger movie, that's fine. But as the city, I don't think we should be going out and promoting the type of horror. And if you do decide to watch that show, the type of, I don't like how they treat the women in it, like the men treating the women in it. So what are we telling our children? What are we telling our girls? Like, no. Like, we don't need to have that type of sexuality in there at all. And these are 13-year-olds up to 18. So if you have younger children at home, you have a 13-year-old, you want the child to go ahead and go out. Now all of a sudden we have our police department needing to babysit because they sent the kids out by themselves. We have vaping on the rise. I just can't see this being a great non... If there's more parents there, the less we have to have policed. The less parents there, the more we have to have policed. So I don't think it's a great idea as a city to go ahead and support this kind of showing.
Yeah, I'm just doing a quick little look here. Looks like there's cigarette smoking, the use of Valium, the S word, two F words, GD, a brothel with women seducing them. I think if it's PG-13, maybe that's one thing, but if we look at some of the reviews and it looks like it's maybe not a great representation of our city, maybe we don't do it. Anybody comfortable dropping the F word right now? Does it look good? Probably not.
No,
I don't know if we should be playing it in the city. I would agree. I think we can't baby every situation, but I think when you look at some of these reviews and some of the stuff, it's just not a good representation of the city. So we're not all going to agree on what's healthy and what's not. Parents will do what's best for their kids. But I think F words and Valium and brothels probably maybe not the best representation of our city.
I just think it's a bad sequel. That's what I voted on to.
Yes.
It didn't need to be made.
Artistic expression.
Oh.
Creative differences.
Just a money grab.
Anyone else? Kirsten?
I think the staff can make the decision on what's best to show for our citizens. I think people cannot come if they don't want to see something like that. I don't think that we're asking people to bring young children to this. I think we're listening to our citizens by asking them what they want to see, and we put it out there. So I'm fine with what our staff has chosen. I think they've probably taken that into consideration and viewed it themselves prior to deciding to show it. And I don't also want to make assumptions of our 13 to 18 year olds that the police department's going to have to be more active there because there's vaping and drug paraphernalia or what have you. And if Chief Blummel thinks that there's going to be an uptick in crime because of viewership of a PG-13 movie, I would be interested in hearing his perspective. But I don't feel that would be the case.
From a public safety perspective, is there any chance Beetlejuice will appear?
As long as you say it three times.
Mr. Mayor, I would be completely speculating on that.
Yes, yes.
At my last training, we did not go over movies.
Okay.
Increasing crime.
Okay.
Anybody else passionate about it, Chris?
Well, first, I think staff wrote a great case in this one. They answered some of the things that Kirsten just said, but, you know, staff is addressing requests from residents. That's important. Pointing out the fact that, you know, parents are in charge. PG stands for parental guidance. That means the parents are in charge, as they would be with any other activity in the city. So, I think it's completely fine. Sounds like we have already paid and purchased this. So, by making a choice to change, I assume that's going to be costing the city and wasted dollars.
Mayor, if I could just respond. Indeed, we did buy the license, $510. And then just real quickly, other cities showing PG-13s include Maple Grove, Columbia Heights, Duluth, Eden Prairie, New Hope, St. Paul, Spring Lake Park, White Bear, and then Champlin is also showing Beetlejuice. So not advocating for anything, just providing that.
How long does that license last?
I don't know the answer to that. But it may be a period of time that's beyond a month or a season.
Generally, you purchase the license to the movie and you get a window of time to show it. It's not an exorbitant amount of time. It's a week or two, from what I recall.
All right. We are a different city than other cities. But maybe it's okay, maybe it's not. But we have to make a decision for ourselves. So just real quick, this, I'm guessing we're probably... who wants Beetlejuice? Give me a thumbs up. Got two, three. Who doesn't want Beetlejuice? Give me a thumbs down.
Ooh.
We have four. Okay.
Say it three times.
I think the consensus is not to show Beetlejuice. So I guess we would like for either you to play Moana 2 again or maybe choose a PG-13 movie. What's the consensus? Or PG movie consensus? $510.
Right, I think the biggest thing is not the horror, comedy thing, and not the 13. And that's the big differentiator between the other cities as well with some of the PG-13s they've shown versus the, the category.
Can we transfer the license to another city that hasn't played it yet?
I'm sure that officially you shouldn't transfer that, but we can look into options to try to share or reduce the public expense. As long as we're on the topic, though, it may be useful for staff to understand if indeed someone did reserve a park and wanted to play Beetlejuice. Are we saying that the same movie, same time period, same park is okay as long as a resident would be advocating for it? We do have realtors as an example that show movies in the amphitheater and other areas. It'd be useful to know if we should decline or pre-approve whatever movie
Correct.
Private resident would show, like the athletic associations are doing at Alpine.
That would be my stance, is if, like you said, a realtor is going to show this kind of thing and that's what they want their business to be represented as, and they're inviting their sphere of influence to said thing, that is a representation of their business, not our city.
Concur.
I would just say, and obviously I think there's some probably standards at the highest level of some standards of lewdness where, like, I wouldn't, some pornography or something like that I wouldn't approve of, but, right, like a BG, I guess if it's a private group that, just like you said, it's not the city promoting, they could do that. But I think obviously there's some common sense in there if it's, things that shouldn't be shown in public period or something,
Right. I guess we should mention that.
Okay. Michael, do you concur?
The porno is not okay on our city staff.
That's a given.
Well, I don't know. Is it?
It's a given. Well, outside of discussing that topic.
Do I concur?
Concur that we don't care if a private business plays it representing themselves and it doesn't, and it meets our lewd and obscene standards. It's nothing crazy. We don't care, but we just choose a city to choose something more age appropriate for the youngest viewers.
Ultimately, yes, but it is sort of a iffy area.
I think for this one, for those who said boo, PG movies as the standard for park night movies geared towards families, is that
PG?
What we're shooting for?
I think so.
Okay. Let's shoot for PG or G movies for park ones. Okay. Last one, employee wellness room. We are almost to 7 o'clock, and I think we're going to get...
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I think I can get this done in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Looking back at the 2025 strategic plan, strategy number 9, objective 1, action item 1.3, specifies identify a fitness option for City Hall staff similar to what the PD, Fire Department, and Public Works have. We've discussed this with our Labor Management Committee and the management team. We've looked at this, and it is supported within City Hall with city staff. We have identified the Rum River Room, which is on the second floor of City Hall at the top of the stairs, as the ideal room for this space. It would be essentially a free thing to do. There's no cost other than building maintenance staff to shift some furniture around. What we would do is we would take the conference room out of that table, move it to the area between finance and engineering, move the stuff that's between finance and engineering now down to the engineering workroom, which is where it used to be. There's power in there. There's no expense to get that equipment going where they can use their plotter and things. And then the stuff that's in there right now, which is actually cubicles, could be moved elsewhere, likely out to the extra space in the garage. As far as room rentals go, there's never been a time that I'm aware of or that I was able to find that we didn't have enough room rental space. The organizations that were reserved for the Rum River Room was one internal person that said that it should have been deleted, he doesn't need it, and the Ramsey Foundation, which is actually more pleased to be in the Trotbrook Room, which is right here. Did make one mistake in the case. I said that the Mississippi River Room was an equivalent room to the Rum River Room. It is not. It doesn't have the overhead projector. It's the same size with the same seating. But this Trotbrook Room does have that projector, and the Ramsey Foundation, who is the one that had been in the Rum River Room, as I stated, actually prefers this room here. So there's no cost. Staff would appreciate this. We are looking at starting small, just bring your own yoga mat, bring your own free weights, and we'd like to see how it goes. And if it needs to grow, we would come back and talk with the council about that. I would sure like to be able to promote this as part of our recruiting, that we do have some fitness and wellness options here at City Hall. Staff may very well go out after work to, say, Anytime Fitness or Lifetime Fitness. I don't even know if those businesses are still around, but there are names that come to mind. But it certainly isn't convenient on your break time to drive somewhere, perform whatever you're going to do, and then come back. I think that's probably causes more stress than it is to just be able to go into the room and do some stretching or free weights. So with that, I'm just looking for a consensus that council would be okay with that.
I'm good with that.
I'd be good with you guys getting something also, like a treadmill or something. Of course, that's a larger discussion, but I think that's the least we can do for you guys.
Thank you. Anyone else? There's four. Anybody else passionate about voicing their opinion?
I guess my concern to the thing is, Mayor, would be like you kind of said, the growth in the future, you know, stress this, and I worry about it become expense and grow and, you know, affect the budget in the future, and you may even then be asked to be put in contracts or something in the future and kind of blow up that way. And I also, I mean, I think realistically too, you know, there's no shower facility, there's no other facility. I mean, how much would it be really utilized? Is it worth, you know, the space and the, to me, the potential for the future of adding cost?
Okay. Real quick, Shannon.
Legal question is, if they bring in their own weights, they have an accident in this room with their own weights, who's at fault?
We would have a waiver form. Other cities do this.
Oh, I'm tired, but the person that forgot to sign the waiver, like, or the waiver isn't good enough. Like, what does this look like?
Well, there's...
Yeah, what do you do? Bad waiver, dude?
Yeah, what do you do if they don't have a waiver? You know, is what your question is. But the only thing I can tell you is you need a waiver. Because you could potentially be liable, you being the city, could potentially be liable for anything that occurs on the premise.
Could be part of the in-doc process for becoming an employee.
Yeah, I was going to say, I worked for the county. We had what was called the cage. It used to be the old evidence locker. And you can only badge in if you have done the training for it and then signed the liability waiver. The county provides multiple treadmills, lifting machines, free weights, spaces for people to do workouts. I think it's a part of recruitment and retention, so we're saving money in the long run. We're also just talking about how we save money this year on our insurance because people are healthier. Let's keep our staff healthier, happier. The other departments, whether or not they provided the equipment themselves, but have it, police department, fire department, all have workout spaces. The public works area has their own workout area, although they did provide all of that equipment themselves, which kudos to the staff for honestly bringing their own stuff in, because once again, I think that's the least we could do for our staff members to keep them healthy, happy, safe. So,
all right. It looks like we have consensus, and I appreciate that we had more heartburn over Beetlejuice and Wellness Room than we did over the budget. So that's saying something. Good job, everyone. Review future topics calendar. You see those calendars. I think we're going to get through these a little quicker, and we can go to topic requests, and we can talk about the
before
things we're on.
1 minute. We've got our city engineer recruitment coming up, and council's input on, is there a desire for council to be involved in first round interviews or second round interviews sufficient?
Second. Consensus. All right. So, yep, review those huge topics, and we'll talk about our committees later on. We are adjourned.